Hello and welcome to the Red Robin Podcast, powered by Budget Size Auto Centre and 360 Chartered Accountants, the independent Hulkington Rovers podcast.
And you are joining us for a very special edition of the Red Robin Podcast Weekly as Rovers welcome bitter rivals Hull FC to a sold-out Craven Park on Sunday. And it's a jam-packed episode with former Robin, Ten pundit Paul Cook joining me to discuss Sunday's game. Plus, he also has some words of advice for Robin star Mikey Lewis. We're here from the Raiders Review with Blake and the Park podcast as they tell us what we can expect from new signing Brad Schneider. And then I'm also joined by podcast regulars Dan Kraft and Graham Ten as we look back at a disappointing defeat to the Lee Leopards and talk more about Sunday's crucial round 18 fixture. To kick us off, though, I am delighted to welcome another former Robin to the podcast with current Featherstone star Craig Hall joining me to discuss his upcoming testimonial event in Hull. Craig, how are you doing, mate?
Yes, how about you?
Yeah, really good, thank you. Craig, how's the season going so far for you at Featherstone?
Yeah, we're going good. Obviously, we're a few points clear at the top. Just lost the one in the league this year to lose the week. Spirits are high at the club at the minute, so hopefully we can carry on into the playoffs.
Yeah, that was a bit of a mad result, that one. Won it to lose with, I mean, they haven't been great away from home, have they? And you've been going great guns as well. But I suppose sometimes results like that are needed just to remind you of how tough the competition is.
Yeah, definitely. We got one early in the year as well in the cup against Halifax. Kind of reset us. I think, you know, it's the best team that Toulouse had out all year, to be honest. We knew that they had some people back and we probably lost a few, you know, key players early on in the game. Jono went off at half back and it kind of disrupted quite a lot of things. So, no excuses. It was better on the day. So we need to be better later on in the year.
Yeah, and how's the body holding up?
Sound, mate. Yeah, really good. I keep getting asked the same question, like, what are you going to do next year? You're going to go again? So, body's feeling fine. I said when I stop winning fitness tests, I'll call it a day.
Yeah, no, well, hopefully you'll continue for a lot longer yet. It is Derby week, obviously, Craig, you're no stranger to this fixture. It's one that's close to your heart. When you look back at your experience of the Derby, is there any favourite moments that spring to mind instantly?
Probably, there's a couple. Like, obviously, there's been that many. I always enjoyed the Magic weekends at Manchester. I think there was always good games. Obviously, when I made my second debut, came back over at that place when it was absolutely peeing down, that one. And then there was an Easter weekend where we went, we was kind of depleted as a team. But I think, you know, just our attitude just got us through and won on Good Friday.
Yeah. When you look back, Craig, at the games you've played in, are you a player who needed pumping up or did you need calming down?
No, I'm too laid back to need calming down. I just enjoyed it. You know, like, obviously, I lived over in Ezel at the time. So, you know, going through the city, normally I'd go straight down, obviously, over Mighton Bridge and stuff like that. But, you know, it's days like them that used to, you know, drive through town, drive down on this road, just get a bit of atmosphere in, see the mix of shirts in the city. It's outstanding.
Yeah. And, I mean, if we look at this game on Sunday, the first derby of the season saw Rovers absolutely thump Hull FC 40-0. We're probably not going to see a scoreline like that on Sunday, and it feels like it's decided who can ice it more, who the ones who keep their heads and play the game plan. And unfortunately for the Robins, Craig, over the last few weeks we've seen them moving away from that game plan. But, you know, when it's a derby game, anything can happen, and you've experienced that yourself, where, you know, sometimes it don't go to script, anything can happen. But it does feel like, Craig, it's the side who sticks to the game plan more that'll come out on top on Sunday.
Yeah, of course it is. You know, whatever has happened in the first derby, that's gone now. Obviously, when you kick off on Sunday, it's going to be a totally different game. You know, I think all have got a little bit better form-wise. So it's going to be great, and I'll be looking forward to watching it.
Yeah, I spoke to Paul Cook, and he's coming up later on in the podcast, and he said that If there's one game that he could ever come back out of retirement for and get himself fit and just play one more time, it would be the derby. And I suppose, Craig, you've experienced it yourself, and obviously, you know, you've played in some fantastic other games in your career, but the derby is still one that you'd probably put your hand up to playing again.
Yeah, 100%. I don't think I realised until, obviously, when I left the club and went to Wakefield, and then obviously their derby was Castleford. And obviously everybody was talking up saying it's a derby, and it just didn't feel anywhere the like. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it matched the intensity and obviously the rivalry around the town. So, you know, if I could play another derby, it'd be outstanding. Yeah.
Yeah, and we're going into this game on the back of a bit of a thumping from the Lee Leopards. One player who caught the headlines, not necessarily for the right reasons, Mikey Lewis, you know, an absolutely amazing talent for the Robins. And a bit similar to yourself, Craig, you burst onto the scene as a young lad. Mikey's copping a bit of flack from his own teammates, Jordan Abdul, obviously saying what he did on Sky. Willie Peters saying what he did after the game, and some supporters are saying, look, he needs to get away from doing some of these daft things, you know, chucking boots away, sliding in from 20 metres out. But Craig, whenever you came in for criticism for things like you were doing, especially at the early stages of your career, how did you manage that and how did you deal with it?
Just ignored it. I still do. Even when my dad slags me off after a game, I just ignore him. To be honest, you know, Mikey is what you want. You know, he's a passionate player. He's a great player for the club. You know, he wears his heart on his sleeve. Sometimes you get caught up in that, like Mikey has done once or twice. But, you know, I won't take anything away from him. The way he plays as he plays. And, you know, I think the fans love that. So, you know, he's just got to go out on Sunday and do the business.
Yeah, I do think the stage is set for him almost to... He feels like a big game player, and he's scored a few tries in derbies so far, you know, during his career. So I really do think the stage is set for him. But if we come on to your testimonial, Craig, I mean, you've got a huge event coming up on Friday night. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, well, I won't show how many events that I've over in Hull. Obviously, this is my first one. I've not quite got anything planned again for the rest of the year. Hopefully, I'll try and fit something in. So I wanted it to be, you know, obviously a really good event. And you know, I didn't just want, you know, a dinner with one speaker, and the people that I've asked, the more or less said yes straight away, which, you know, I'm absolutely buzzing about, because it's a bit of a mix. You know, obviously it's not just rugby lads. We've got a bit of different sports in there, different personalities. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, who are the guests who people can expect to see on Friday night?
Yeah, so we've got Nick Barmby coming down, footballer, obviously. Legend in his own right, what he's done, where he's been.
Massive Hull FC fan as well.
Massive black and white. I didn't want to say that, but I was going to. I'll mention it tomorrow night, don't worry. And then obviously Tommy Coyle, Luke Campbell, obviously put boxing on the map in Hull. You know, obviously brought some excitement and everything into the city, which I'm all glad, because obviously all three lads are Hull born and bred. Which was a good thing, and like I said, they've all said yes straight away, and they've been outstanding with it. Cookie, obviously, Paul, we've got on today. He's coming down. I got a message from Cookie when my testimonial got announced, and he just said anything he could do to help, you know, he'll be willing for. So as soon as I messaged him about this, he just said, yeah, not a problem, I'll be there, which was outstanding for Cookie. Yestin Harris is coming down. Known Yestin quite a few years. He's actually my agent. Obviously, he's done everything in the game with Rugby League, Rugby Union, and, you know, he'll be good to have a chat with. We've got Mikey's coming down, so maybe he might get a few questions. I'll have a word with him to see if he's going to keep his head. But, you know, obviously, I had Frankie Alton down to come. Obviously, he moved to Lee. So he just messaged me saying, obviously, he won't be able to make the night. And then I sent a message to Mikey, and again, you know, he was more than willing to do it. So really pleased with that. And I've also got my coach coming down, Longy. Obviously, legend of the game. Plenty of stories from Longy. We'll see what gets said, but he's, you know, an outstanding bloke. So I'm really looking forward to it. Then we've got a raffle on, plenty of decent prizes, auction. Shirts will be selling if anybody hasn't got one. And, you know, we've got the Shan on as well, singing later on at the night. So I've not seen the Shan for quite a few years, actually. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I tell you what, Craig, I mean, to get that number of guests and that high calibre of guests as well, it's testament to you for your standing in the game and what you've done in your career. And I think I've heard each of them speak, and they're all fantastic in their own. Even if you had just one of them up there talking, they're absolutely fantastic. And they've all done it at the very top of the game. So if anyone is free tomorrow and wants to go along, can they just turn up and get a ticket?
Yeah, well, tickets are still getting sold. I think my dad's been all over all dropping tickets off. He's been loving it, actually. He's been getting out of the house. So tickets are still available if you want to get in touch. Or if, obviously, it's going to be weather says it's going to be a nice day. So if you fancy a walk down to Trabble, obviously, Beer Garden will be open, have a few pints. You can get tickets on the door. You know, more's welcome, as many as we can get.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic occasion. Like I said, it's your chance to mingle with some stars, ask questions, have your pictures taken, and hear some insight from people who've been there and done it, Craig. So I really wish you the best of luck. I hope it's a fantastic turnout, and I hope the rest of your testimonial year goes very well as well. And hopefully, you never know, at the end of the season, we might be talking about you playing in Super League next year again.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic. That's what the club are hoping for this year. You know, that's what's everything building for. And, you know, maybe Longy might touch on that on tomorrow night. So, you know, we're really looking forward to, you know, I think we've got about 9 games left now, and then obviously the semis. So, you know, we've been in this spot a couple of times over the last few years and got to that £1 million game and just not quite met that final hurdle. So, you know, the boys are determined this year, and it'd be great to see Featherstone in Super League.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic end to the season. Hopefully a fantastic end to the season as well. And to help us hopefully get into them playoffs, the Rovers have made a new signing. Brad Schneider is coming over from the Canberra Raiders. I caught up with Blake from the Raiders Review with Blake and Pork podcaster here. What Rovers supporters can expect for him when he turns on the red and white of Hull Kingston Rovers? Brad, great for you to be able for you to join us and talk about Rovers' new recruit, Brad Schneider. You record on the Raiders Review with Blake and Pork podcast. Just give us a little snippet about what the podcast is about.
We talk about the Raiders every week, you know, and we cover the games and the various news and events, but we try and do it in sort of a bit of a, you know, bit of a fun kind of way. We've got a few sort of wacky contributors to the podcast. We try and have a laugh every week, so yeah, we try to keep it reasonably upbeat.
Yeah, and it's great to see more fan-led content, and it's why I wanted to get you on the podcast, Brad, to get your opinion on Brad Schneider. I mean, he's signing, it looks like he's signing till the end of the season for the Robins. It's a short-term loan deal, 22 years of age, playing, what's he played? Has he played one game so far this season?
Yeah, he played a lot last year. Last year, a big signing, George Williams, I'm sure you realise, went back to the UK, and he didn't go back to Wigan, he went to Warrington. But so then we signed Jamal Fogarty to play 7 for us from the Gold Coast Titans. And then in a pre-season game, he had a pretty bad injury and he missed the first half of the season. So Brad was brought into the side and played, yeah, halfback for the first half of last year, and he did a pretty good job for a young guy. You know, it's a pretty hard position to come into, but I think he's a great player, and I'm sure he'll do very well. I wonder if he's joining just if the plan is for him just to go to the end of the season, or whether, because he's unsigned for the Raiders for next season as it is. And the fact, I'm probably covering a lot of things you can ask me here in one bit, but the fact that he's remained unsigned up to this point, I was starting to wonder whether they were going to actually offer him a new deal. But to your knowledge, it's the deal to join Hull is just till the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's been reported at the moment. It's a deal to the end of the season, but it does put him in the shop window, doesn't it, if he comes over here. Obviously, it gives us the option to sign him. Also, you know, if other clubs can see what he's doing in first grade rugby, then it'll make them sit up and take notice. He got last season, he was awarded the Peter Mulholland NRL Rookie of the Year award. So obviously he's a player who's in the infancy of his career, but he's been able to show what he's got. What player can we expect to be coming over, Blake?
A very good player. The Raiders signed him from, he was actually a North Queensland Cowboys junior. He's from Townsville. They signed a couple of absolute stars. One of the things Canberra struggles to do is to attract big name players due to the inland cold location. A lot of players want to live, you know, in a coastal region. So one of the strategies the Raiders have adopted is to go hard at very highly rated juniors and bring them through the ranks. But he can play six or seven. I think mainly on the left side of the field, but I have seen him play the right as well. He's quite a big half. His defense is really good. That was something, and you know, when he came into the NRL last year, you know, obviously the teams ran a lot of traffic at him, and defensively he was very strong. And he kicked goals for quite a lot of last season and did a good job there. He's very solid. I wouldn't say he's the fastest or flashiest half you'll see, but he's more a solid sort of halfback.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned his defence because in the New South Wales Cup this season, I think his tackle efficiency is something like 90%. And it's unusual for a player in that position to be, 6 foot plus, I think he is. He's not the smallest of players. I mean, New South Wales Cup, he's played, 12 games this season? 3 tries, 23 goals, 12 try assists. For our listeners that on the Red Robin podcast who are probably not so familiar with it, the New South Wales Cup, what kind of standard is that competition?
I'd say it's probably if you've got NRL sort of up the top and you've got Super League here, it's wouldn't be too far below Super League. It's a pretty high standard. So New South Wales Cup is basically the second team for all the NRL clubs that aren't based in Queensland. So it's basically all the clubs playing it and the New Zealand Warriors. So there's huge, most teams have a mixture of, you know, good young up-and-comers and some sort of, you know, some better-known names. Like, say, for example, we were talking just before we got on air about Josh Reynolds. He'd be playing predominantly New South Wales Cup for the Bulldogs this year. But there's depending on the team, you know, you certainly see some good players in New South Wales Cup. I try and go. Sometimes they play the games as curtain raisers before the first grade games, and sometimes they play them at sort of suburban grounds, standalone fixtures, just depending on the scheduling and stuff like that. Because if there's a Friday night game, they'll play New South Wales Cup on the Saturday. They won't play it on the Friday afternoon. But it's a good standard. The majority of the players are in NRL squads. There'd be a few guys in each team that probably are part-timers, you know, and they sometimes bring in guys just to make up numbers because depending, the Raiders New South Wales Cup team this year, they've gone through a lot of players because they've had a lot of injuries and a lot of guys being called up to play first grade. So it wouldn't be the easiest thing for Brad to play in week in, week out, because quite often you'll have a different spine, you know, week by week, depending on who's available and who's injured and who's called up to first team and stuff.
Yeah, and I guess in that example, then, is Brad one of the leading figures in that side in terms of his leadership?
Oh, definitely. For the Raiders, yeah, definitely. I mean, I watch quite a bit of New South Wales Cup when I can. And look, he looks very solid at that level, but he doesn't really, I wouldn't say he's dominant in the way that there's some players you see coming through that when you see them in New South Wales Cup, that is okay, they're clearly above that standard, where he's one of the good players at that level. But yeah, I don't know. And that's maybe why I'm thinking he, you know, a move to the Super League may suit him really well. We've seen, you know, a bunch of halves that have sort of struggled with the pressure of the NRL go to the Super League in recent years and do really well. And I think he potentially could be, you know, a great signing long term for you guys. Because like I say, we're losing our six. Jack Whiten's going, and most people assumed, most fans have assumed that the position was going to be Brad's next year, unless we signed someone, you know, from Super League or NRL, and no one's been brought in. We assumed Brad was going to be the guy, but now, yeah, maybe he's the club's got other plans, and he's going to stay in the UK.
Yeah, I suppose the other way of looking at it as well is if he does come over here and play week in, week out, maybe that's a better test for him for next season if he was to be retained.
Yeah, that's the other, that's a lot of sort of fan speculation is at the moment, is that maybe he's just being sent over for a short stint just to get to play, you know, at a better level than New South Wales Cup and, you know, better atmosphere and better experience. The Raiders have done that before in the past. Michael Dobson, I'm sure you'd be familiar with. Yeah, he went over for a season and then the Raiders brought him back, and Sam Williams sort of went back and forth a bit as well, you know, for the experience. So it's a possibility. Yeah, no one really knows because, as I was saying to you before, most of the articles that people are seeing and reading over here are actually from the whole Daily Mail or, you know, in the UK articles. There hasn't been much reported over here yet. So there definitely hasn't been any confirmation coming from the Raiders. But, yeah, it seems like it's definitely going to happen.
Yeah, at the moment we're running with two halfbacks. Our number one halfback, Jordan Abdul, currently injured for the season, which is probably why this deal's come about. Ryan Milnes, he's more of an organiser, short kicking game. Mikey Lewis is our running halfback who likes to take people on, you know, a bit more flair. Where would you put Brad in between them two? Is he the organiser or is he the runner?
Sort of a bit of both, really. I mean, I guess when he was in first grade last year, really, like he was on the less dominant side, and a lot of ball went to Jack Whiten. So what you saw of him was doing defending, tackling, and kicking goals. He didn't really, you know, he had some good moments, but he wasn't really too many highlights that you really stick out in mind. But yeah, I think he's potentially, you know, could be a really good sign for you. And the other thing I'd say about him, he's a, like really good guy, intelligent guy, you know, very humble, grounded, hardworking. He's certainly someone that would be going over there, you know, and would really knuckle down and wouldn't be someone that's going, you know, I guess you get a lot of Australian players heading over there in the twilights of their career who probably aren't that focused, whereas I think he'd come over, you know, really with a lot to prove.
Yeah, what kind of salary will he be commanding over at Canberra?
Oh, he would be. I would say he'd be on sort of the $150,000 to $200,000 mark, which is pretty much, you know, minimum wage or a bit above. I think minimum wage next year in the NRL is going up to $180,000, which is about, you know, it's basically double. So it's about £90,000. What?
That deal has now been confirmed, and we look forward to welcome Brad Schneider to a sun-kissed Craven Park on Sunday. Up next is Graham Turner and Dan Craft as we look back at our disappointing defeat to the Lee Leopards, and we talk more about the biggest game in rugby league, Hull Kingston Rovers versus Hull FC.
Graham, Dan, great to have you on the podcast for this week's Red Robin Podcast Weekly. Like we always say, it's never dull, is it, supporting Hull Kingston Rovers? And we've got a huge game ahead of us, our round 18 Super League fixture against our bitter rivals, Hull FC, our sold-out Craven Park on Sunday. But we go into that game on the back of a bit of a hiding by the Lee Leopards. 34 points to 4, defeat, 22-0 at half-time. Graham, Michael Lewis started the game by kicking it out on the full, and we never seemed to recover from that moment.
Yeah, it wasn't an ideal start. It was a bad day at the office all round for everybody, I think. Yeah, we let Lee get too far in front of us to make any impact in the game. We were behind the eight ball from the off, as you say, with the kick out straight away. Gives them possession, and you don't need to encourage teams like Lee, who are playing really, really well, possibly one of the form teams in the comp at the minute. And a really good league position, and we know how they play, and for us to be able to just hand them the opportunities on a platter, yeah, wasn't the best start. And then before we know it, it's 16-0, 22-0, whatever, half time. No chance. You've got no chance of coming back from that against a decent team like Lee.
Yeah, Dan, we started off with Zenon at fullback, Yaha on the right wing. Tom Opacic partnered him. SKD and Hall out on the left, Mikey Lewis and Milnes in the halfbacks. Luckily, and King with the starting props, with Jez Litton, the starting hooker. Dean Hadley, Kane Lynette in the second row, Elliot Minchella at loose forward and on the bench, Matty Parcell, Reece Kennedy, Matty Staughton and Yusuf Aydin. When you look at that team and you compare it to Leeds, I know it's all on paper because Leeds are very good at the moment and one of the form sides. But when you look at that side, that looked very competitive to me, and the scoreline, you know, didn't seem to reflect the capabilities of that team that was named.
Yeah, I mean, it's more or less the same team what we've had from the Salford game and the Wakey game. So not much change there, but it's looking at it on paper. You look at the squad numbers that we had out, and Lee, I think they were only missing the number 12, like Kai O'Donnell. That's all they were missing. The thing that they've managed to do throughout the season, it's probably why they sat where they were, is have the continuity of the players. They've not had any injuries, suspensions. They just seem to have whizzed through. And like Graham said, when start of the game, you can't let them. Willie Peters was on Sky Sports before the game, wasn't he? And he's saying, we control the ruck, we can control Lee. We just didn't, did we? We just let them run away. And like Graham said, you lose Mikey Lewis early on, and we're two tries down within the first 5-10 minutes. It's a mountain to climb. We needed to be in the arm wrestle for the first 20 minutes to half hour, at least, and to kick on from there.
Yeah, it was a poor opening start, wasn't it? And I think it was 16-0 down after the first quarter. And from there, we just never seemed to be getting back into it, Graham. The game looked gone with what, only 20-odd minutes gone. And Rovers, for whatever reason, could just not get a foothold in the game. But is that credit to Lee, Graham, for the fact that their intensity levels were much higher than ours? Their aggression was more than what ours was, which is disappointing, really, isn't it? Because they're the basics of the game. They're the free stuff that you can do. You know, you'd have to train for that. That's what should be, you know, you bring into every game. And to be outfought and easily outfought was, for me, really disappointing to see.
Yeah, I completely agree, John. It was disappointing to see. It's not what we've been used to. And the whole performance stood out like a sore thumb over the course of the 17, 18 rounds or so, wherever we are now, as a really poor performance and very unlike us from what we've been dished up. I won't say it was a surprise of how Lee played, because we know they play like that. It's no secret. They play fast, they play organised, and they're a threat. And we just didn't seem to have any answers to that. And like Dan said there, we've had a relatively settled team in the last few weeks. And there's no inkling that type of performance was on the cards. It was just completely out of character for us. And like you say, those basics. I think the disappointing thing for me is all through the journey of pre-season and now, Willie Peters was talking about world-class efforts and attitudes, etc. And I think that was one game where that mantra, that ethos just fell apart. Because like you say, you shouldn't need to be reminding yourself of, come on, we've got to do a proper job here when it comes to the basics of the game. They're the givens. It's the fine detail and finesse that you need to be polishing up. So yeah, that was disappointing. It appeared that any time they wanted to come forward and get through as they could do, which again in recent weeks has been tightened up defensively. So yeah, it feels like a couple of steps gone backwards after recent improvements against Salford and Wakey.
Yeah, Dan, you mentioned previously about the amount of players Lee have got in their side who have played every game this season. I think Sky showed a stat before kickoff, and I think Lee have the most players in Super League who have played every game for their side. I think they're up to, I think it was eight or nine or ten players. Rovers were second bottom with only two players. Mikey Lewis and Jez Litton are the only two players who have played every game for the Robins this season. Jez Litton started at hooker. Tough night for Jez, tough night for everybody in the red and white of all Kingston Rovers. But from what I've seen when Jez Litton starts for the Robins, it just doesn't seem to have the same impact as Matty Parcell does. And we seem to miss out on his impact play by him starting.
Yeah, it's a bit of a strange one, really, because Jez Litton was always sort of used as that little bit of extra pace when they're starting to tire in the second half. He brings them on and goes with the same as Tony Smith used to like doing with the two hookers. Bit of pace and it just against a tired defence. I just think just very strange that he keeps starting, just letting up a Parcel. You don't know if Parcel's carrying a little knock or something that we don't know about. But yeah, I think it was probably one of his worst games in a Rovers shirt, which is Litton, not the only one, not singling him out. I think there was quite a few that really, I think anybody apart from, for me, Reece Kennedy and probably Matty Staunton could put their hand up and say they played all right. Yeah, apart from that, you can't really pick anybody, can you? I think it was just one to forget, put in the past and move on.
Yeah. The only thing that's worrying for me, Graham, and when we're being beaten previously this season, we've been in the arm wrestle, we've been in the game, we've had opportunities to win it, and you know, for whatever reason, we've given up that opportunity. The performance against Catalan, this game, you know, quite easily beaten, heavily beaten, and we seem to be coming away from the whole KR way, what Willie Peters keeps talking about, you know, the style of play that he wants to impose on the side. We seem to be coming away from that at a worrying time of the season. And this fixture, this defeat to Lee, just highlighted how far away we are from what Willie Peters would have set him out to play like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I talked a couple of weeks ago about you can't go 27 rounds of Super League playing at that really high level that we've seen. It just doesn't happen like that. So, look, whether it's a part of the season where they're building towards another attack on the last few weeks of the season to try and push for that place, something's got to start soon, because if all of a sudden we go into a little rut again of backing up this the last defeat, with another couple more in upcoming games, all of a sudden the other teams above us are going to pull 2, 4, 6, 8 points away from us, and it's going to be gone to do that. So I think it's a really crucial game on Sunday. And, you know, going back to your point, it is coming into that business end of the season. We do need to be starting to think about fighting for those, you know, those top six places if we've got any ambition. And that was always the goal, I think, from the club, the management, the team, pre-season was to attack that. And I think we got that feeling in the first few weeks that yes, we are on the right track to progress, and we are seeing progression from last season. And then all of a sudden we hit that four game losing streak. We just had another bump, and let's hope it is a bump. But sometimes you need within rugby, we've seen it every other week, really, where I won't say this was a shock result, but the manner of performance was a shock performance. But then all of a sudden the team who put that in can really kickstart and put a run of games together. So I'm hoping, on a positive point of view, that performance was a one-off. And one of you just mentioned about putting that game to bed, and yeah, you do the analysis and look, it's gone, been and gone now. There's absolutely nothing we can do about it. But what we can affect is the way we perform, our attitude, etc. this week, and the way we perform on Sunday in the next game. So that's, for me, is where I hope we're at. And I hope there's no hangover from it. Only a positive one, in that there's almost like a redemption of that performance, and showing them, you know, in front of the Sky cameras, that was not the whole KR that we know and love. Let's put that right on Sunday with a much improved performance across the park.
Yeah, well, there's no better time to do it. Dan, I mean, we can't not talk about Mikey Lewis. Probably, I don't know, unfairly singled out, because he wasn't the only one who didn't have a great game against Lee. Obviously, though, he's our star player almost. He's the one that we look to make things happen, that bit of spark. We already mentioned his kick out on the full, the very first kick, and then the sin bin. I mean, fantastic sliding tackle. I'm sure there'll be some football teams looking at that, because he slid in. It wasn't until they did the long angle, was it, that Sky showed. You saw how far he actually did slide. And interestingly, his simbining wasn't as a result of the slide. It was because he stopped the lead player from being able to restart the game. A crazy decision, some people think. I mean, Willie Peters said about the yellow card, I have to have a better look at it. I only saw him slide, but Mikey has to learn. There's been a couple this year where he could have got 10, and he did tonight. A good way to learn is getting sin-binned and watching your team concede 2 tries. It's a play he won't be happy with. Jordan Abdul sort of called him out a little bit after the game, saying he needs to learn from it. A number of supporters on social media saying, look, he really does need to learn from this. What do you think, Dan, about Mikey Lewis's performance and what he needs to do next?
Yeah, like you say with that slide tackle, out straight on defending him. You know, he's come on, he slipped. It's a wet surface. Not until half time that they actually showed that angle, though, was it? And you sort of go, right, that's a bit naughty. That he could have easily gone for that. I think Abdul was wrong to call him out on Sky. I think that's the sort of thing. Get back on the team bus and point a finger in his face and start shouting at him all you want there, calling him daft and all that. But you don't do it on telly. It makes us look. He called him amateur and petulant, didn't he?
Yeah.
You can call him that to his face. Don't call him on Sky. It makes us look amateur, doesn't it? It can't do anything for his confidence. He does need a kick up the backside. You know, be the cheeky little halfback. I saw people saying about squirting water. I think was it against Salford, squirting water at Tyler Dupree and whatnot. Yeah, it's funny that, isn't it? He's not going to get sent off for it, ruffling somebody's head. You know, it's part of the game, and it wind the opposition up. But don't take it too far. Be the cheeky halfback, but don't take it too far. That's going to cost the team, because like you say, when. Willie Peters said, sorry, seeing us concede two tries while he was off the pitch, the Sky cameras kept zooming in on him. You'll have seen that on the big screen. He'll have felt the right muppet, won't he, for that? And maybe that's what he needs. Maybe he needs a bit of criticism rather than everybody blowing smoke up his backside every week, even if he doesn't perform. Maybe he needs that. Come on, you're a good player. Let's just cut this nonsense out of your game. And let's. What we don't want him to do is turn into a Jake Connor, do you? Whereas he concentrates more on being a shithouse than being a rugby player. And that's what we don't want from Mikey Lewis, because he's 22 years old. There's time there for him to develop, and he just needs to get his head in the game now, doesn't he?
Yeah, Graham, he celebrated his birthday yesterday. He's no doubt going to have a long career in the game. And hey, this might be the moment he looks back on and goes, do you know what? I did need that kick up the ass. You know, he's still raw. He's a young talent. He's got a lot of it. He carries a lot of weight on his shoulders, expectation. Not least probably what he puts on himself to perform well. I agree with Dan. I don't think John and Abdul needed to do that live on TV. I think, yeah, he's there to be the pundit. He's got a job to do. But also, he's a teammate, and he wants to be in the sheds with them boys. So you can't sort of call him out there if you're not going to go... And do it behind closed doors. And that's probably where it should have been done, behind closed doors. I noticed Mikey went to France at the weekend, whether it was to escape some of the heat or whether it was pre-planned, I'm not sure. But he was over in Nice. So hope he had a great time and he's come back refreshed, because, Graham, we've got a huge game on Sunday, and this is a great opportunity for him to right some wrongs.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything you said there, Jono, young... quality player, absolutely. We know that. That's why we love him. Flaws in his game, yes. I think Dan's highlighted there that this is potentially one of them of playing up to that line, but not necessarily needing to step over it to impose himself on the game. He showed with his try, albeit with 5 minutes to go, whatever, that's what we want to see out of him. But his actions initially, whilst he didn't cost us the game, it set us off on the wrong footing from minute one. And we ultimately conceded a couple of tries within that period. So his action has a consequence of letting us, you know, teammates down, the game plan going out the window of this is what we want to do to try and impose ourselves on the game. All that's ripped up because all of a sudden we're two tries down and staring down the barrel after 15, 20 minutes. So it then was, you know, was a catalyst for inviting Lee further on. They don't, like I said, they don't need any second invitations. Once they have that momentum with them, even when he comes back on, we're still conceding points and tries. So it you know, it affects psychologically everybody else. There was no need for it to happen there. It's much better for us when he's on the field rather than sat in the stands. So we want to see the right Mikey Lewis, the good Mikey Lewis that we all know and love. And, you know, we've talked about it a couple of times this season, and I hope it's just not something that is part of his game permanently, because ultimately, like you say, we'll get himself into trouble with it. He's already starting to put a target on his back by riling players up the wrong way, and that can only mean one thing, is that somebody one day is going to gun for him and potentially put it out of action for us for a while. Play the game in the right way, obviously, but we want to see Mikey with ball in hand, doing his stuff, you know, feeding others, scoring points for us. That's where we want to see it. And like you say, thankfully escaping any ban this week, which we've ruled him out of the derby. And yeah, he's got now the perfect opportunity. He had a pretty good derby early on in the season. He's had a pretty good record against the black and whites over the last couple of seasons in terms of his try scoring. Let's get his head back in the game. Hopefully after that resting weekend where he was away, cleared all that out. Monday morning, back to it, preparing for the game on Sunday. Let's hope it's a positive impact in the next.
Yeah, and he is, let's not forget, under the tutelage of one of the best halfbacks that's ever graced Super League, Rugby League even. Willie Peters, of course, a former halfback himself. So he's in and around people who've got experience in the game who are going to be able to guide him. I suppose when he goes over the whitewash, that's where they're unable to influence him, and it's what goes on between his ears, which you know they can't always coach and predict. And you almost need to leave that 20%. You know, you can coach him 80%, but leave him that 20% to make the on-field calls and decisions. And thankfully, the majority of the time, it pays off. But he plays so close to the line that there's going to be times when it doesn't. And hey, let's hope he's had that brain fart moment. It's out the window now. And on Sunday, we see a performance which is based on him just playing rugby league, and it's not based on anything else. Dan, a moment in the game which probably didn't have any bearing on the final result whatsoever, but what's your view on penalty tries?
I think that, to be clear, that he's going to get it down. I think it's very lazy. Was it Kendall, the video ref? I think that's very lazy of him. I think you sort of look at it and go, was Zenon going to get there? Yeah, probably not, maybe not, but there's that maybe. It's not a penalty try, is it? Because there's always that doubt that was he going to ground the ball, you know?
No, and to be fair, it was a bit of a nonsense going up to the video referee, really, because I think in the laws of the game, that state that it's in the referee's opinion that he was going to score a try. So it's very hard if he sends it up as a try for the video referee to then, you know, unless there's something wrong, an offside or something, which I would state, it did not look like that ball went the full 10 when they did the dropout either, but they seemed to skate over that. Yeah. But there's, for me, just watching that, you know, we've seen a few either 8-point tries scored this season or penalty tries awarded. It seems to have been more prevalent this season. But when you look at that try, you know, you are scratching your head to say, can you 100% say he was going to score that? And you know, like I say, it didn't have any bearing on the game, but it just sets a dangerous precedent going forward for future fixtures where it could come back and bite you at a time when you really don't want it to.
Yeah, because, I mean, we got off quite lightly, really, didn't we? Because if he'd have ruled it out, he's got to give Matt Parcell a yellow card, hadn't he? And that probably opens up another gap in the line. You might have just taken it on the chin at that point, aren't you? I mean, the game had gone, hadn't it, like you say. But I just found it lazy from the video ref, surely. He needs to be looking Kendall and going, exercising his common sense, yeah, he could have got there, so it's not a penalty try. I think he's just gone with the easy option, hasn't he? The easy way out on that one.
Yeah. Graham, another key moment during the game, I suppose, was the Elliot Minchella injury. He's been fantastic so far this season. Worrying injury. Obviously, as we record this, we don't know what the squad news is for Sunday's game, but if Elliot Minchella doesn't make it, he's going to be a huge miss for the Robins on Sunday.
Yeah, I think this season, I think he's one of those players who's consistently stepped up with performance levels at a really high standard. And if he's, you know, out of action for us, like you say, we don't know at this particular point in time when we're recording whether he is or he isn't. But I think I read that Willie Peters said he was touch and go for it. So the only saving grace, I think, is that we've got a game right at the back end of the week, so we could squeeze as much time as possible to determine whether he is fit enough to play. But yeah, I think if he isn't, then it will leave a big hole in the squad because of the work rate that he gets through, the amount of tackles, he's been running with purpose, etc. So yeah, I don't think there's a ready-made replacement who can offer the same qualities that Mini brings, but yeah, if he's not there, look, it's an opportunity for somebody else. We'll have to adapt a game plan around that. But if he is, then let's hope it's one of those where he is fully fit and not carrying a knock, and ultimately does himself a mischief during the game on Sunday, and then he's putting himself out for much longer than necessary. So again, coaching staff, medical team will be all over that this week, no doubt, giving him every opportunity. As I say, we've got till what would be Friday lunchtime, what would to name a squad. So that's every possible opportunity to see how he's going this week, get any treatment that he needs this week, and then make a call as to whether he's in the matchday squad or not. And if he is, great. Let's hope he's fit and raring to go. If not, then look, somebody else needs to step up and do as good a job as Minchella has been for us.
Yeah, Dan, what have you made of Elliot Minchella so far this season?
Been outstanding, and he's been one of the standout players. I mean, first couple of games, he was a bit hit and miss, wasn't he? I think Willie Peters hooked him a couple of times in them first couple of games. He was obviously taking that on the chin and just sort of going, right, let's just get my head down here. And he's been outstanding, hasn't he? Probably one of the best loose forwards in the league this season. But as Graham says, we need to make sure he's 100% right. Let's just remember that this is, as you don't want to really label it, it's just another game in the season. If he's going to be 50-50 and he's going to pick up another knock and he's going to be out for 3 to 4 weeks, we lose him for the semi-final and we lose him for Leeds and Cass, which are winnable games as well. We need to be thinking about, it's not a cup final, it's a big game, but we need to be looking at players that are 50-50. We don't need to risk them. This game doesn't define our season. We can lose this game and still go on to make the top six. We need to, in my opinion, not be risking players that are not fit to play. We don't want to be risking further injuries, because it's just what we can't afford at the present, isn't it?
Yeah, and Graham, another player who potentially could be making his return, who could be playing in the derby and making his return from injury, is Ethan Ryan. A much speedier recovery than first anticipated from his broken jaw. Talk that he's going to be in the squad for Friday. Now, with the news that Zenon and Yaha have gone back to the Catalan Dragons, they've played the last games for the Robins. It does leave two positions there to be filled. Jack Walkers, of course, is there. We've got Lewis Senior, who's playing on the right wing. Throw Ethan Ryan into the mix, and then you've got three players vying for two positions. Like Dan quite rightly says, though, we're probably not yet at the stage where we really need to be risking players if they're not 100% fit. But if Ethan Ryan is fit and ready to go, Graham, does he get a starting spot for you?
For me, I think he does. He was playing well before he got the unfortunate injury against Wigan, the last few minutes of that particular game. I think he looked solid at the back for us, and had a few people questioning about our decision to not offer him a contract at that particular time. I think he was impressing quite a few people who potentially written him off in terms of being in a red and white jersey for this season. So, yeah, I'd like to see him, if he is fit and available, I'd like to see him being given the opportunity again, hopefully to return to the sort of form he was in pre-injury. And I guess at the time we saw the injury and reading the sort of fallout from it, I don't think there were too many people who anticipated seeing him in a red and white jersey this season, or certainly this quickly after that. So, yeah, it could be a welcome boost in terms of a fresh pair of legs to the squad. Like you say, two positions available potentially for three should provide that that competition between those three players to hopefully challenge each other to say, look, I want that jersey, and when I get it, I want to keep it. So hopefully it provides a bit of healthy competition if they are all fit and available. But yeah, definitely great to see Ethan Ryan back. And if he is moving on at the end of the season, like suggested, possibly to Salford, then let him, let's have a good season, good end of season for him, because I think he can still add a lot of quality to what we do.
Yeah, Dan, one player I failed to mention there as well is Corey Hall could come back into the reckoning. So potentially you've got four players vying for two positions. What would you like to see happen on Sunday?
If he's fit, Ethan Ryan at fullback. I think start of the season, he was obviously our first choice winger. I thought he had a poor start to the season, shooting out the line and all that. He quite enjoyed doing that, didn't he? And it cost us the game against Leeds, didn't it, at home? But as soon as he made that switch to fullback, been outstanding, hadn't he? And you sort of think maybe this is his position. think he did have a good spell at fullback for Bradford, didn't he? I think that was one of his main positions when he was at Bradford. On the wing, it's a difficult one, isn't it? And I do like Corey Hall, but the wing isn't his position. We found that. Was it against Wigan? Where he was just getting caught out, wasn't he? And it's not his position. I think he's a centre. That's his position. At the present, we've got Kenny Dowell and Opacic. You can't replace them. He'll have his time. Will Corey Hall? Won't he? He will have his time. He's got a future. I think you're probably going to have to go with senior, aren't you? And just hope his defence shows up a bit.
Yeah, because his previous outing, he showed up with plenty of metres made, 2 tries. He did make a couple of errors, though, didn't he? That led to 2 scores. And then you've got Jack Walker, who can also play on the right wing, but it'd be a big ask for him to come in, I suppose. And, you know, we've only seen a very rare, a very brief glimpse of what he can do at fullback against Catalan. So there is going to be some interesting choices there. And I do wonder whether we might see Kenny Dowell end back up on that right wing and with Corey Hall coming on the left. There's a big conundrum there for Willie Peters, because for me, the logical choice would be put senior in there. But we've seen on a number of occasions this season, Willie Peters, Graham, he's not afraid to make some big calls and make calls that not many of us would have predicted.
Yeah, we've seen it, you know, multiple times this season, and probably the one you highlighted there, SKD, no bigger than that one when he got shoved out to the right wing. But again, I think if you're looking at the game plan as a whole, and you know, potentially we've got Adam Swift coming up against him on that side. I know he's, I think
he's touch and go at the moment.
He is. So I think you've got to prepare for something like that, and we know how rapid he is. So you have to have somebody there without an out pace and somebody who can be a solid defender, because Adam Swift, again, is one of those players who's consistent, you know, in what he does. As soon as he gets ball in hand in open field, he's very difficult to stop. So I think you need a good defender in there as well, and somebody who's got, you know, who's got the pace to handle him out there. So I think it's a tricky one. Not convinced that SKD's got the pace to handle that, but certainly got the defensive quality. So, yeah, each one's got their own strengths and weaknesses. And it's going to be up to, you know, Peters and the coaching staff to come up with a match day 17 that he feels is going to give us the right opportunities to deliver the game plan that is going to stick in front of them.
Yeah, and it is a big call, because do you put in a player who can make a recovery tackle, or do you put a player in who can hopefully stop that player getting past him in the first place and doesn't lead to the offload? So it is a really interesting one. I mean, some small rumours at the moment, Dan, that James Batchelor could be back in the squad this week. I mean, that would be a miraculous recovery, because at the time of the injury, people were, you know, Willie Peters himself, I think, was saying that potentially this could be a season ender. He was in a neck brace for a good period of time. That's now off. I don't know whether he's back in training. Obviously, that's key to it.
He has been, John. I think I read last week that he was in training, barring the contact. So he just needed to start, get through some of the contact sessions to then be able to be putting his hand up for contention.
So you imagine, Dan, if he's able to do contact sessions this week, I mean, James Batchelor would be a more than welcome addition to the side on Sunday.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, shows up the second row, doesn't it, with Lynette, and gives that, could move Dean Adley to loose forward at that point, guy, and he's more than comfortable there. It goes back to me, it goes back to, if he's not 100%, we don't want to be risking him, especially with an injury like that. It's not like a little calf strain, is it? He's had a cone on his head or a neck brace or whatever he's had, and he's...
Yeah.
It's been quite a serious injury, isn't it? So we don't really want to be risking that. And I'm sure the medical team will be all over that, won't they? He'll have to be past 100% fit to be playing after that. But yeah, that'd be massive, especially because we're going to have to be matching there. They've got some big units, haven't they? That's their game, isn't it? The big units. Satar, Liggy Sow, them sort of players. That's what we've got to be matching them in the middle, haven't we? So yeah. He would be welcome back if we can get him.
Well, whenever you're watching or listening to this, fingers crossed, he is included in the squad announcement. Graham, take out the fact that it is a derby and everything that comes with it. It's an important game, not least because Rovers now find themselves outside the playoff spots. Hull FC are just 2 points behind us in the table. No, sorry, 4 points behind us in the table. A victory for them on Sunday would see them go 2 points behind us. It pushes further away from a playoff spot. it is an important game, isn't it?
Absolutely, for many reasons, and I think you've just touched on there, Jono, is the fact that if we want to get back on track with our top six ambition, this is, you know, the perfect game for us to demonstrate that. And, you know, other teams above us are going to pick up points if we don't win this game. Other teams below us are going to pick up points. So all of a sudden, we're getting further away from one end and nearer the other end. And that, again, then puts an added pressure on having to sort of perform on a really high level against good teams week in, week out to just make the six. So where we can pick up points, we should be. And yeah, after that performance, as I said a few minutes back, so that performance on Friday, I'm sure every one of those players and coaching staff is looking to right those wrongs from last Friday evening.
Yeah, and Dan, not least the fact because we play the Leeds Rhinos the week after as well. You know, two really important games for us. If Rovers are going to cement a playoff spot, you'd imagine that 4 points out of the next two games is, I wouldn't say vital at this stage, but it's pushing that envelope at the moment because, you know, lose them two games and you find yourself in a very difficult position.
Yeah, well, it's a 4 points, but it's a 4-pointer in both senses, isn't it? 4 points sends us quite nicely clear in the playoffs because how tight that is. I think Catalans are running away with it, aren't they? But the rest are on 20 points. But if we lose them two games, you've dropped 4 points that were there for the taking. You've got to remember, I know we've got the semi-final coming up, but then after that, it's Cass at home, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's 6 points that are there for the taking, isn't it? These are the games, if we're serious about going for it this season, making a good fist of it and making the playoffs, these are the games we need to be winning. We can't be losing to sides around us.
No, and it's important, isn't it, Graham, that we've seen it all too often with the Robins that we leave ourselves just too much to do at the back end of the season, chasing points when we've had plenty of opportunity to get points on the board. And these, you know, like Dan alluded to there, these next four games are pretty crucial for where the Robins will end up at the end of the season. This Hull FC side ain't necessarily one that should, you know, hold any fear for the Robins. We saw what we did to them at the start of the season. No doubt this is going to be a very different Tony Smith side what comes to Craven Park on Sunday. Fresh from a very close defeat to the Catalan Dragons. Victory over St Helens, although I will say a very poor St Helens side the game previous. When I look at it, I don't think Hull will win this. I think Rovers would lose it. If you know what I mean, I think the game's there for us to win. If we apply the Willie Peters way of playing that we did so often at the start of the season, I don't think we'll have any problems whatsoever. But a lot of supporters going into this game with a bit of trepidation at what might happen.
Yeah, I think it's derby week. And look, every week, you know, every sort of derby week, it's slow, slow, quick, quick, slow, as in we've had the game on the Friday, last Friday, and then everything was slowed down after that. Then back on it on Monday morning and we're ramping up the media, ramping up the hype, and then all of a sudden there'll be that lull before the game and thinking about what could happen and what might happen with the game, can we win it? And then there's that feeling in the stomach about, I don't know about anybody else, but that you get with derbies and all of that comes with it. But it's one of them that, as I say, it's so important as an individual game, taking away the fact that it is a derby, it is so important for other reasons, and we shouldn't sort of get lost in the fact that it's a derby and it's the biggest game of the season so far. It's not, for me, it's a game, and Dan alluded to it at the end of the day, there's 2 points on the line, whether it's Hull, Saints, Cass, Wakey we played, it's still 2 points. You don't get any more points on the league ladder for winning the game. So you've got to approach in that way, take the occasion out of it and just play the game. But you're right, again, with Hull FC, when we turned them over at their place earlier in the season, that was when we were riding that crest of the wave. We're not now. So how do we show up? They were on the, you know, the bottom end of their lull at that particular point. And, you know, for many, it was their lowest point for Donkeys. And since then, they've steadily improved and have shown much improved performances with, you know, a lot of the same players there. So it is swings and roundabouts of where we were both at that particular time. Now is the time to find out really where we're at. And I think, like you do there'll be a much improved Hull FC performance comes to Craven Park on Sunday. And it's, have we got the ability, the endeavour, the attitude, everything that goes with it to overcome that and play the game rather than playing an occasion? And this goes back to our points about Mikey, etc., and all of that. I think we've got to be on it on Sunday. Otherwise, we could come away with 0 points. And then they're catching us from beneath. The other teams are pulling away. And like you say, it makes it more difficult for us to get back on that winning streak. And we could, yeah, still get in the top six, but we might expend that much energy doing it. By the time we get into the six, we're gassed and we've got nothing to offer on the back of it. So, yeah, I think it's a really, really important few games that you've highlighted there, where there are definitely points on the board for us to be able to take. We've got to have the right mindset, right attitude, everything that goes with it to be able to maximise that and not leave ourselves chasing our tail to getting that top six in the last half dozen weeks or so.
Dan, what are you expecting on Sunday?
Not the same old FC side what turned up at the KC, that's for sure. We watched them against Catalans on Saturday. And it's a different beast, isn't it? Although Catalans did give them a couple of nice soft tries, didn't they? So I think the scoreline sort of doesn't reflect it. And they were camped on their line for much of the second half. And the commentator said at one point, I don't remember looking left, because Catalans have been camped on their line. But the fact that Catalans didn't run away with it shows that it's not the same defensive crap that they had at the start of the season where they were shipping 60 points every week. We're going to have to be on our game to beat them. And I think the big difference for me with them now is they've got a half-back partnership, aren't they? Clifford and Truman, what works. That's the big difference from at the start of the season where Clifford was just having to run the show and he was going missing, wasn't he? Because he was working with idiots that were absolutely useless and he just wanted to go home, didn't he? But now, yeah, it's a different beast. And I think we need to be on our game. I don't think we'll turn up the same performance as Lee. I think, as daft as it sounds, it's a different animal getting up for a derby than it is getting up for a cold, wet Friday night in Lee. If you can't get up for a derby, then we might as well just give up the season now. A derby that, like Graham said, you've got teams above us pulling away, you've got teams below us catching us up, Leeds and all catching us up. It's a must-win game. So, yeah, I think, I don't know, it's a difficult one. I think the bookies have got it right. I think they've given the 4 handicap. We've got a 4 start, sorry. I think the bookies fancy all, don't they, at the minute?
Yeah, well, we will see. There's sure to be plenty of fireworks. Pigeon Detectives, Graham, playing out the Robins. It's become a bit of a feature, hasn't it, at Craven Park? That's sure to fire up the East Stand and everybody else there watching the game. Early kickoff on the Sunday, 12 o'clock kickoff. I think Craven Street opens from 10 o'clock. It promises to be a pulsating atmosphere. LFC have finally sorted out their allocation. I never understand why it takes them so long to do that. But that's another thing. But Graham, I mean, the Rovers fans, we've said it plenty of times, can really make the difference on Sunday. And, you know, it is a sellout. And what we need to hear is noise throughout the game, supporting the Robins and trying to get them over the line, because it's another game where we can really influence the result.
Absolutely. We've talked about it a few times when I've been on the season, Jono, around the noise that can be created in and around the ground. And if you're making it very difficult for the opposition to communicate with each other, that's got to be an advantage to us. Absolutely, it must do. And backing the boys 100% like we always should do, it's going to be even more important after Friday's result to get behind them, to try and give them that extra boost to get over the line. So yeah, we've got a really important job to play all across the ground on Sunday. Let's make it noisy. Let's make it hostile. Let's make it supportive for the boys, and hopefully it can be that extra, we'll be 19th man now on it with the way the squads are at the minute. So let's be noisy, let's be loud, let's make it hopefully count towards a much improved performance, but also a positive result on Sunday for the lads.
Up next, we hear from former Robin and current TalkSport pundit and the man who's going to be working with Sky on Sunday at the derby, Paul Cook, as he shed some light on what to expect from the Robins
in our round 18 fixture against Hull FC. And also, he gives some words of advice to Robin star Mikey Lewis. Paul, thanks for joining us on the Red Robin Podcast Weekly once again. Huge game on Sunday, the Hull Derby, Hull FC versus Hull KR, this time at Craven Park. Are you expecting to see a repeat of the 14-0 drubbing that we saw earlier on in the season?
No, absolutely not. I didn't expect to see it then, to be honest. There's very few derbies that I ever played in or that I've ever seen after finishing at Hull KR where one team blows another team away like that. They're generally very, very close, very difficult to call from a neutral point of view or even from someone who's from within the city. It's not easy to call these games. They're very intense and tough, and I expect it to be that way at the weekend.
Yeah, and it is a very much a different Hull FC side that we're looking at, isn't it? I mean, we've seen the last two results, obviously beating St Helens and then running the Catalan Dragons very close. It seems to have a bit more of a steely resolve in defence, especially.
Yeah, well, I've mentioned this a few times now. I think they've been beaten by 60 once this season against Salford. It was twice a month last season and the season before. They was getting beaten by 60 or 40, 50, 60 points regularly. Catalan had enough football last weekend, second half. I was at the game for our league app, and they had enough ball second half to win by much more than what they did win by in the end. It's going into the last 15, 20 minutes. It was still only a four-point ball game. I think they're very much a team that's improved slightly, you know, not slightly. They've improved drastically from the seven-match losing streak that they had. But whether that'll be enough to go to Craven Park, which is a very, very difficult place to go and win. If you ask Salford Red Devils that from the Challenge Cup quarterfinals, they'll tell you. So, whether it's enough to go to Craven Park and win, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of Robin supporters are probably a little bit more apprehensive of this fixture, especially after that defeat to Lee Leopards. I mean, a comprehensive defeat. And it is an important game, not least the fact it's the derby. But if Hull FC do win, it puts them 2 points just behind the Robins. And it really opens up that battle for that seventh place playoff spot. So it's more than just a derby, isn't it? It can have a real impact on the league table.
Well, the difficulty in this city, and we've mentioned before the last derby, and I've mentioned it a hell of a lot, is it's whilst it's about the derby and the rights within this city to be bragging and to get one over your rivals, there's a bigger picture. The bigger picture is the Super League, and the bigger picture is the top six. And both teams are very much in danger of missing out on that six if they continue the form that they're in or not winning games that they're in. I don't think the result last week against Lee wasn't the result that shocked me. That it was the manner of it, if you like, that the performance within it. I think they got beaten up, Hull KR, in every single department in the game. And that's not something that we've said all season about Hull KR. So going into this derby off the back of that performance, is you don't just switch on and you can't just switch it on. And I say that lightly because you can in a derby, you can just fire up and it can just ignite your season. I think for Hull FC, you know, I mentioned this on Monday to Ben Crooks about it. I mentioned that I think the pressure's on Hull FC to win because they're so far behind Hull KR and the top six. He flipped it round, Ben Crooks, and said, because Hull KR have started so well in the season, they're under pressure to get back to that kind of form and get back to the league position that there was once in, whether that's out of reach now as third place, which there was, I think, 7 weeks ago before they've lost quite a number of games in them 7 weeks in the league. I don't know, but there's very much more than just bragging rights at stake in terms of the Super League table. And I'm sure that the players recognise that from within. The fans, not so much. The fans aren't bothered at times. It's just about bragging rights. But the Super League's important and making the six is vital.
Yeah, and there's going to be some big matchups across the pitch on Sunday, not least in the halves with Mikey Lewis taking on Jake Clifford. New signing, Brad Schneider, he's expected to be taking a seat in the West Stand for the game. He's getting eyes on the derby for the very first time. But Mikey Lewis came in for a bit of criticism, Cookie, after that defeat to Lee. In many people's eyes, very fortunate to escape a ban, which would have obviously ruled him out of the game. I mean, is the criticism Mikey's come in for warranted?
Well, I don't think it's criticism from the yellow card at Lee for me. The criticism for me is that he's putting himself, he's sailing so close to the wind that with the way referees are today, that he could have been yellow carded before this game last week. And I think his coach said that, Willie Peters, after the match, where he said, Mikey's got to be really careful because he could have been sin-binned in the last few weeks. And without throwing Mikey under the bus, Willie Peters, in no uncertain terms, publicly made it clear that he's not happy with his halfback and what he did at the weekend and what he's done previously. I think Jordan Abdul's comments are correct. Whether he's the man to say them, I don't know. Mm. I think the petulance of him, in a funny way, it's like a kid taking his bat and ball home. You know, throwing the boot away of a player at Magic Weekend, which then turns into a penalty against his team, is for me where halfbacks should separate that emotion from the game. And that's what's going to be really important this week for Mikey and for Rohan Milnes and for Clifford and Truman on the other side. Because while everybody else is around you is losing your heads in a derby, you've got to remain calm. And, you know, you've got the big players in the middle that are belting, seven bells out of each other. You've got blokes on the edge that are screaming at you because they want the football. You've got the crowd who are overhyped and are having a few beers, all, you know, arguing with each other and getting on the referee's back. And the noise is deafening within the stadium. Well, that's, for me, where a good half separates and becomes, it sort of goes out of body and sees and understands everything around him. I think it's a really big game for all four halfbacks in the game, but for Mikey particularly, because he's come under for that criticism. Yeah, he's come under that criticism, not only from Jordan Abdul or his coach, but, you know, lots of other people within the game as well. However, he's 21 years of age, he's a fantastic player, he's a maverick player, and you don't want to take the edge away from him in terms of sailing close to that line of arrogance or confidence. What he's got to do is learn not to overstep that mark. And let his rugby league do the talking and forget about chirping up and just get on with his game, because he can win a game on his own. No question about that.
Yeah, and he's under pressure a little bit, like we've already mentioned. Someone who could come in and replace him in the side will be watching on from the stands. Another short-term loan signing, it looks like, Cookie, with... I mean, there's reports that Tanguy Zenon and Phil Jaya have already departed the club and gone back to the Catalan Dragons. As we record this, we haven't got the squad news yet, but it looks like that's happened. I mean, in your experience, what effect do these short-term signings make? Do they affect the morale in the camp? Do they have a big impact, or is it a suck it and see with them?
Well, I think they affect it both positively and negatively for different players. It won't be a positive that Zenon has been at the club or Fuad Yaha for Corey Hall, for argument's sake. You know, that'll be a negative for him because he's not played anymore since they've come in. It won't be a positive for the players that are close to Corey Hall and other players that it affects. However, there's no question that Zenon coming in and scoring a try on debut and having a great game against Salford was a positive for the club and for the team and the way it affected the team, because they made it through to the semi-finals of the Challenge Cup. I think the player coming over from Australia, Schneider, is going to come in. And that may free up Mikey Lewis to go to fullback, because I think if Jack Walker has a really good game, then it puts pressure on Lewis and Rohan Milnes in the halves, because Schneider will come over and play, and one of them won't play if they're not playing well. And I think that's important for Willie Peters, because he's not been too pleased with the way that his team have been inconsistent in the last 7 weeks. But if Jack Walker isn't great, then Mikey can go to fullback and then Rohan and Schneider would be in the half. So it gives him that competition and a way for Willie Peters to manipulate his team how he sees fit. So I think it's a good thing for the club, but it might not always be a good thing and a positive thing for people that are affected directly by these short-term loan signings.
Yeah, you mentioned Jack Walker, and a player who could be playing on Sunday and many people wouldn't have expected to see him out on the field is Ethan Ryan. He poses Willie Peters another question there, doesn't he, whether he includes him. I mean, it's a tough injury to come back from, you know, a broken jaw, and then to go into a game of this magnitude. But Ethan Ryan has done it before, he's experienced, and you wonder if he's going to get the nod, whether it's at fullback or on the right wing spot.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think he was... Listen, he wasn't poor, was he, against Wigan when he broke his jaw in the last play of the game when Wigan went over in Golden Point. That gives him an option at fullback. Obviously, if Yaha has gone back, then It gives him an option on the wing as well, with regards Yaha not being there. Obviously, Corey Hall's still an option. I think the team selection is really important for Hooker out the weekend. And the big one for me is who starts at hooker. I think Jez has been outstanding, but Parcell came on and was good. If it's not working in the halves, then obviously he can bring Jez off the bench into the halfback role, or he can bring Parcell off the bench and move Jez. But it's really important that the team selection for Willie Peters is right. It's a really big game for both teams, and you don't want to be left scratching your head after the game if you lose it. And I suppose that is just part and parcel of it for the coaches. They will sit down and reflect on their team selection if they're not to win the game.
Yeah, and you saying that coming to rugby league as well, icing games, and is it going to be the side who can ice it that the best on Sunday who comes out on top?
Well, for me, it's the team whose halfbacks are able to separate emotion from what is a intense and hostile environment around them, where, as I said, everybody is running around like headless chickens, and you're in charge of the team. You're in charge of when you kick the ball, where it gets kicked to, whether it's a good kick. You're in charge of whether, you know, the team are icing for a drop goal, or like you say, or are trying to get the ball to the end of the set to kick the ball into touch. Whatever it is, the halfback has a pivotal role. And there's no coincidence for me that these games are often won inside player of the matches by the 6 and 7 on either side, because they're the players that should be and are able to separate from what is an intense and really hostile atmosphere and a very intense rugby league game.
Yeah, and it is a game that still captures the imagination of not just Hull FC, Hull KR supporters, but rugby league in general. I know a lot of people are excited. Do you think there'll be fireworks, or do you think there's going to be a bit more steely resolve from both sides?
Well, there may well be some fireworks. I think, you know, there was no love lost after the last game of Tex Hoy's comments on that you don't want to lose a derby as long as he's in the city. I think Minchella let him know. Whether Minchella plays is another one. I think that's a huge call for Hull KR. I don't think Hull FC players would have forgotten that result very quickly, particularly the local ones. Not nice to lose a derby, but to lose it to nil and at home and by 40 is, for want of a better word, disgraceful from their team. And I think that will still hurt them. But that doesn't mean Hull KR should go into this game with any less confidence. That not that they can do the same again and put 40 on them, but certainly want to drive into the opposite end of the city that they're number one.
And that brings us to the end of another fantastic edition of the Red Robin Podcast Weekly, powered by Budget Size Auto Centre and 360 Chartered Accountants. Please let me know what you thought of this week's podcast in the comments section, and let me know what you think of new signing Brad Schneider. Rovers going to the game on the back of a disappointing defeat against the Leeds Leopards, but we all know what can happen in a derby. Make sure you're the extra man, the 19th man on Sunday, and back the boys to victory, because it's a crucial game, not least because we want the bragging rights in the city of Hull, but because we want to make a push for them playoff places. But for now, remember, live, love, laugh and be happy.